Things are changing in the UK. In some ways, it feels like we are only one incident away from mass protests in the streets. The two major political parties, the Conservatives and Labour, are starting to look more and more shaky, particularly the Conservatives. And Nigel Farage, along with his Reform Party, promising to bring a populist revolution, is gaining more and more momentum in the polls. There are huge swathes of the country who feel forgotten and mistreated by the globalist elites of the country who live their lives in the wealthy homes in the leafy suburbs of the south of England. The discontent has largely stemmed from the government's policy towards legal and illegal migration. Migration has become what the one issue driving all others in UK politics. For those less familiar with the UK, the dissatisfaction around migration comes from two main things. Firstly, the last few years have seen a huge rise in the number of small boats crossing the Channel and arriving in England, having come from refugee camps in Calais. These are mostly young men, according to the statistics, who are refugees in a safe country, which is France, but are still making the trip across the Channel to look for a better future. And many have suggested that housing these refugees in hotels is unfair and increases the crime rate of the surrounding area. Secondly, ever since the premiership of Tony Blair, so that's 1997 to 2007, the number of legal migrants has also skyrocketed, increasing pressure on public services. And many politicians would argue that these migrants have increased the economic productivity of the country. The New York Post claims that one in every 13 people in London are thought to be there illegally. All of this unrest and dissatisfaction has recently come to be symbolised in the flying of the English flag on lampposts and spray painting it on roundabouts in the UK. Throughout many towns and cities, the flag can now be seen proudly and defiantly lining the streets. And this has been dubbed by some Operation Raise the Colours. It sends a clear message to Parliament that people have had enough of the two governing parties. Instead, they are turning to leaders such as Nigel Farage, and even figures like Tommy Robinson, who outflanks even Farage in his radical approach to immigration, to provide this country with a new direction. For example, Tommy Robinson has organised a huge protest to be held on the 13th of September, which is being promoted as a free speech rally, with hundreds of thousands thought to be attending. Each flag that appears on a lamppost is a further vote of no confidence in Kemi Badenoch's Conservative Party and Keir Starmer's government. Either the major parties will have to be more serious in how they listen to what the public say about immigration, or a completely different set of political parties will be in government before too long. For Bible students who have no part in the politics of this world, this shift in the UK is particularly interesting. There is a good case to be made, as many listeners will know, for identifying Britain with the place called Tarshish in Scripture. Scripture defines Tarshish as a maritime power, in Psalm 48 verse 7, which is to the west of Israel, Jonah 1 verse 3, that traded in silver, iron, tin and lead, Ezekiel 27 verse 12, and is a latter-day trading power with independent colonies in Ezekiel 38 verse 13. And when combining all of these characteristics together, Britain is by far the best contender for the Tarshish power described in Scripture. The merchants of Tarshish and her young lions, as described in the prophecy of Ezekiel 38, do not join with the gathering of nations that attack the Jewish people in the latter days. Instead, they question the invader and act as a separate block of nations. Britain's separation from the European Union reflected the alignment of nations demonstrated in Ezekiel 38. And this separation has been shown in many ways throughout the ages. Even in the Middle Ages, when the Holy Roman Empire was in full sway, the English translation of the Bible and Protestantism resulted in a fault line between Britain and Catholic Europe. The trajectory of the two land masses has always been different. According to Bible prophecy, in the latter days, we expect to see Britain as a confident, pro-Israel trading power with ties to the Gulf regions and a collection of independent young lion powers. After Brexit, the trading power of the UK never really took off, and continued high levels of immigration has brought more anti-Semitism into the national conversation, and this has been the same across Europe. Additionally, the globalist technocratic Starmer government has sought for closer ties with Europe rather than moving away. Even after the UK secured a better deal than the EU with the US and the Trump administration because they could operate independently. Now, a similar coalition of voters to those who voted for Brexit are making their voice heard by backing Nigel Farage's Reform Party. Could this rise of support for the populist right in Britain push the country further towards the situation described by the prophets? Well, this week, Nigel Farage has laid out his plan to deport over 600,000 illegal immigrants over 5 years if Reform won the next general election. The party have also said that they would bar any illegal migrants who cross the channel on boats from claiming asylum in the country. The plan would allow for those illegal migrants to be held in disused RAF bases and then return to their countries of origin, which include places such as Afghanistan and Eritrea, where a significant number of those on the boats have come from. And when this policy is compared with the current government's stance towards the boat crossings, the difference is enormous. At the very least, it could cause the government, the current government, to tighten their stance towards illegal migration, just to stave off the attack and the pressure from Nigel Farage. It's hard to see how Britain can act as a pro-Israel, anti-European power described in Bible prophecy if its shores are flooded with unvetted migrants from across the Middle East, the large majority of whom will likely harbour anti-Semitic ideologies. For example, earlier this year, an Arab from Gaza arrived in Britain on a small boat and subsequently voiced support for Hamas on Facebook and called for death to the Jews. The promise of Brexit was that the people could take back control of their immigration policy. Almost a decade after Brexit, this might finally be beginning to take place. The mass protest of the British public against illegal migration has gone hand in hand with the idea of reclaiming British national identity and culture. This is the reason why the English flag or the St. George's flag is being flown in many towns. A major part of Britain's cultural heritage is its Protestant Christian roots. A couple of months ago, The Spectator released an article called, quote, "A Christian Revival is Underway in Britain," end quote. A recent poll suggested that there has been an increase in the number of young people attending church in this country. And it's possible this trend is further afield as well in different countries. Again, when we think about this in terms of Bible prophecy, it would not be surprising to see an increase of enthusiasm for Britain's religious heritage. This is a major factor that led to the establishment of the State of Israel. Many of Britain's statesmen and political leaders in times gone by believed in the Jewish ingathering of the exiles because of their religious upbringings in this Protestant country. And Isaiah tells us that in the kingdom, the ships of Tarshish will bring the sons of Israel from far as they return to the land. A cultural revival of Christianity in this country, however small it might be, could allow Britain to grow closer to the Tarshish role laid out in the Bible. Things in Britain are changing, and we wait to see how they will work to perform the role that God has given Britain as the Tarshish power described in Ezekiel 38. This has been Daniel Blackburn joining you for this week's edition of Bible in the Bible.